ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing to speak on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, one name, Naika Karmakrit, who does not do one kind of work, or one work. This could be taken to mean that he doesn't do any work, but that wouldn't be such a good understanding, because then it would just be a karma, or nakamakrit, one who doesn't do any work at all. Means he doesn't. What it means is that he doesn't do only one kind of activity. He's multifaceted. I'm going to speak on this, or have. Speaking on this as the matter that with one action he performs many tasks. So we can go through all the known pastimes of Krishna and we'll find that everything he does fits this. So we could get stuck on this name for a few lifetimes, many lifetimes. I think many of you have memorized these Kunti Stotram. Those you are in the Gurukul, those you memorized this. So you know in the Kunti Stotra, Queen Kunti's prayers to Krishna, she gives various reasons that different people say why Krishna appeared in this world. That's already stated in one of the most famous and important verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which comes prior to this in the third chapter of the first canto. Kunti's prayers are in the eighth chapter. Ete changsha kala pungsang krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he appears in every age. Whenever the enemies of Indra disturb the world. So it gives the idea that he comes with a particular purpose. That purpose is to rectify the disturbances in the world. Or lokam can mean the world, or it can mean the people. The people are disturbed by the enemies of Indra. So he comes to put things right, but it's the nature of this material world that things go wrong again. And so he comes again and again. He rectifies the situation generally by killing the enemies of Indra. But that's not all that he does. He does many things in all his avatars. So some of the reasons. Why has he come to this world? You can go through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam just based. Actually, all the names in these thousand names, you can go through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam analyzing Krishna through each of these names. So Kunti, who has established in these, she first of all establishes in her prayers to Krishna that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvaram Prakrite Param. He is beyond this material energy. He's inside it, he's beyond it, he's inside it and outside it. Antar Bahira Vastitam. So why does he come? Why is he born? He's Aja. Kechid ahur ajam jatam. Why? Different people say, someone says, some people say, some say that the unborn is born. Kechit ahur, this is Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 32. Punya shlokasya kirtaye, for glorifying those who are themselves glorified in pious verses. Srila Prabhupada translates this. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. Kings, they're supposed to do noble activities, and then verses will be composed in praise of them. And you can find, where most of us are going to Sri Rangam, and you'll find that verses are composed for the kings who have done the pious activity of building this, some certain temple or mandapam or gopuram. Some shloka is composed to glorify their piety. Kirtim yasya sajivati. One who is famous, they continue to be glorified even after their death. So Krishna comes to glorify the pious kings, especially yado priyasyan vavaye malayasiva chandanam, especially the pious kings in the dynasty of Yadu. Yadu is himself, and so many kings in that dynasty, anyway, he's a great personality. He's anyway glorified, but he becomes more glorified because Krishna appeared in his family, and therefore there are so many names of Krishna. Yaduvara, Yadu Kuleshwara, Yadu Pati, Yadu Raj, Yadava. there are so many names of Krishna. But names in usage. We find that Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, he recalls how he would address Krishna. Hey Yadava. So these are names in common use. So it's commonly known, it's well known that Krishna is in the dynasty of Yadu. So that's one reason. Why does Krishna appear in the world? We're going to talk about Krishna does many activities, and with each activity he fulfills many purposes. Well, we can start with his birth. So the first thing, Kunti Devi says, he appears to glorify Yadu and the kings in the line of Yadu. So there's one reason, she says. Apare, others, kechit. The last verse that we read began with the word kechit, someone. And then this verse, the next verse begins with apare, others. Apare vasudevasya deva gyang yachito bhagat. Ajastram asya kshemaya vadhaya chasura dvisham. Then, because others say, since that both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, Yachito, Yachitaha, they prayed for you, you have taken birth as their son, even though you're, again, unborn. Undoubtedly you are unborn, but you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Okay, in this verse we have another three reasons. He appeared to fulfill the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki. Then he didn't just, okay, I'm born, finished. But no, he did. He acted for their welfare also. They wanted, anyway, they're the eternal father and mother of Krishna. So naturally they wanted him to take birth from them. But when he appeared, he acted for their welfare. And he also killed those who are envious of the demigods, which comes to Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Vinashayata Dushkritam. Then, more reasons. Bharavatara Nananye. Bhuvo nava ivo dadhau siddhantya bhuri bharena jato hi atma bhuvartitaha. Others say, so there are all different opinions people may get. What's the main reasons for Krishna's appearance? That the world is overburdened like a boat at sea. If you see a big boat in the port, of course many of you living in Salem may not have seen boats at all. Is it? Maybe some of you never even saw a boat in your life. Is it? Anyone? It may be. And especially not the big, if you have to go to some big port by the sea to see these huge ships. But if there's a storm at sea, it becomes, as Prabhupada said, he was on this boat, the Jaladuta. And if it's at port, it looks very strong. But in the storm, Prabhupada said, he said, it was just like a matchbox being tossed around. It's just a helpless position. All these sailors can do is just close everything up and sit inside and chant Hare Krishna, if they're devotees. They have to strap themselves in also. There's nothing they can do. Pray for the storm to pass. There must be hundreds of boats on the bottom of the oceans of the world. Isn't it? Must be. So many have gone down. So it's like that. A boat which is... Kunti, she herself... I don't know how she had experience of the sea. Maybe she went to Dwarka. Anyway, she must have heard about it at least. Obviously an educated woman to speak all these things. So she said, just like a boat at sea. If you've had that experience, then it becomes a graphic analogy. We're sitting here very peacefully, but if you're on a boat at sea, which is at the mercy of the waves, then you realize how powerless we are. I've been in that situation at least twice, I can remember, in a plane that's being thrown around, buffeted, or just going up and down, and people screaming. You might live, you might not. The pilot, they can do something, but ultimately it's not in their control. All the time, talking about planes, boats at the bottom of the sea, how many planes are crashing all the time? Just because, just recently in Russia, one Fly Dubai flight didn't fly back to Dubai. It crashed because of bad weather. Crashed and killed everyone. And there's, what can you do? So it's a graphic example. The whole earth was like that. They felt, the demigods felt that the whole earth was like that. Even their great demigods. But they felt the earth, it's completely out of control. All these demons are overrunning it. So Brahma, he went and prayed to Vishnu. And he said, okay, I'll go. You go too. You go, get yourselves born in the Yadu dynasty and other pious dynasties, and I'll come. So that's one reason that he came. He was specifically requested to do so by Brahma and the demigods on behalf of the earth, who is his wife, to diminish the burden of the earth, of all these demons who had been born there. Born here. Bhavesmin klishyamana nam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smarana hani karishyan iti kechana. These first two lines of this verse, Srila Prabhupada said, the whole material situation is summed up. Bhavesmin, in this material world, bhava means that which comes into being, which gives the idea that there's also destruction. So it's the world of birth and death, creation and destruction. In this world, which is persons who are klishyamananam, people who are is full of klesha, full of suffering. And the reason? Avidya kama karma bihi. Because of nescience, we have desires, and therefore we perform various activities which cause us to be entangled in this world. And thus, when we perform some activity, then more desires come and we remain perpetually in ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada said that the whole material situation is summed up in these two lines. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi. Ignorance leads to material desires on the basis of ignorance, which leads to activities which bind us in suffering in the world of birth and death. Then Krishna comes. Some others say that Krishna comes, shravana smarana hani karishan iti kechana. Others say that Krishna comes to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, so that people, the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs, might take advantage and gain liberation. So Krishna comes to give a boost to the process of devotional service. That people can be reminded to hear and chant about him, and worship him, and remember him. And also he performs activities so that there's something to hear and chant about. Otherwise, if he just sits on a throne in Vaikuntha and doesn't do anything else, then there's nothing much to hear and chant about. Then our life would be more interesting than his, even though it's full of suffering, but it would be more interesting than his. So we might like to hear and chant about ourselves or other people of this world. And that's what people are doing. People go on hearing and talking about others. Isn't it? Everyone likes to talk about someone else. And someone else, like a film star or a cricket star or a politician, they become the object of many people's discussion. In the neighborhood, there may be someone who's more likely to be badly behaved than well behaved. People gossip about this. We like to speak about others. They don't have information about Krishna, about his glorious activities, bhuri karmana, elsewhere that's described, his glorious activities. But if we speak about Krishna, then we can be freed from this situation in material existence. And so Krishna comes out of his kindness to rejuvenate the process of devotional service. And Kunti Devi further explains this in the next verse, very beautiful verse, one of my favorite verses. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehita tavehitang janaha ta eva pashantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So in this way, she gives some reasons for the appearance of Krishna in this world. He appears out of his own mercy. Another name of Krishna is, there are so many names, Maya Manush. He's merciful. Mercifully appears as if a human being. So Krishna appears in this world to fulfill many purposes. And when he's done the basic activities that he comes from, then he goes again. In course of time, he goes again. We find in the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita Acharya called him, saying that he called Krishna, saying that the world is now bereft of devotional service. People don't know about Krishna consciousness. They don't know about prem, pure love of Krishna. So he, even though he's the Supreme Lord himself, he prayed for Krishna to come. You should come, the original form, to deliver Krishna prem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came on the calling, the prayers of Advaita Acharya. And then later, Advaita Acharya, by some what's called praheli, or some kind of puzzle, riddle, he sent a message to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that now the market is full of rice. There's enough rice in the market. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that Advaita called me, now he said it's okay, now everything's okay, now you can go. He said that when he heard this message, the others asked, well, what does it mean? And he said, I don't know. He said, Advaita, he calls a deity, and then when he's finished with the worship, he sends the deity away. You know, there's the process of making a deity. It's very common in Bengal up to the present time. And then, well, actually in many places. Just for some time, you worship for some days, and then you throw in the river. So he calls a deity, then sends away. So Advaita was saying, okay, indirectly he was saying, okay, you've done it, you've filled the world with Krishna prem, now you can go. So Krishna's pastimes, if we go through all of them, like I say, we'll be here for ever. We're supposed to go back to Godhead at some point. So let's get on to the first well-known pastime of Krishna after taking birth. Well, he took birth, then he went from Mathura to Vrindavan, according to the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or otherwise we can understand he was born in Vrindavan. Anyway, the first well-known pastime is the killing of Putana, the nasty demon who had killed little children. So she was specially deputed to kill this little baby Krishna. So by performing this pastime, Krishna demonstrated so many things. One point that Srila Prabhupada often makes about this is that Krishna, by killing Putana, he demonstrated that he is always God, even when he's in the form of a baby. Some people claim to be God, or some people claim that you can become God by performing various activities, like yoga, or paying a certain amount of money to a guru. He'll give you a mantra by which you can become God. In this way, they're cheating people. But Srila Prabhupada would always point out that Krishna, he didn't have to go through any process to become God. God is always God. Even if he's playing as a baby, he's full of all power. Now remember that Putana and so many other demons that came, they were very ferocious demons, and the demigods had prayed for Vishnu to appear because they felt themselves incapable to overcome these demons. So these were demons. Putana was such a demon that even the demigods were afraid of. But Krishna, demonstrating himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a baby, as if in play, he killed that demon. So he, in this way, he demonstrates that God is always God. He doesn't have to go through any process. Or the whole idea that you can go through some process to become God, or that God at some point is non-God, and then he becomes God, this is all disproved. Then the general understanding, that's true when he kills any demon. Putana was the first. There's another thing that the first demon he killed, or major demon, was the Putana. Rama also, first he killed. So, that's something he demonstrates, that generally women are not to be killed, but if they're really demoniac, there may be a case for that also. Not in Kali Yuga. Possibly, but generally not. And anyway, killing is done by Krishna, not by us. No, we shouldn't imitate. So, Krishna, by killing the various demons, he kills the demons, gives protection to the devotees, and particularly Krishna grants liberation to the demons that he kills. So, that's his great mercy. He demonstrates his great mercy. That's often cited as a demonstration of Krishna's great mercy. This Aho Bhakti Stana Kala Kupam, this verse that who is that? Uddhava? No. He says that who can be more merciful than Krishna? That Putana came to kill Krishna, but Krishna killed her, which might seem very vengeful, but actually he released her from that horrible situation, that horrible consciousness of wanting to kill babies and even to kill Krishna. He released her from that consciousness and gave her the position just like one of his mothers. So, who can be more merciful than Krishna? So in this lila, Krishna also showed mercy. What kind of mercy? Such a person doesn't deserve any mercy. Means no one deserves it. Mercy means you get more than you're worthy of. This is particularly demonstrated in so many pastimes of Krishna. He's so merciful even to the demons. Who could be more horrible demon than Putana, who killing babies? What could be more horrible than this? Deceiving the parents the males weren't there, only the females were there. So by dressing herself as a very beautiful female, she deceived them. Her whole intention was so bad. But Krishna delivered her. Because there was some thought in her mind for a short time in a previous life when she appeared as the sister of Bali Maharaj. There was some thought in her mind that, oh, I would like to suckle this little Brahmin boy, the Vamana. Ratnamala, her name was at that time. So she had some motherly feeling toward him. But that changed very soon when she saw that actually he was Vishnu come to cheat the demons. So she had this, then her feeling toward him became very bad. And that bad feeling was expressed in her form as Putana. But Krishna remembered the good and the good in her, that she had some desire at some point toward some motherly feeling. So we see even the demons may have motherly feeling. Even the crocodiles, they also may have some motherly feeling toward the crocodile babies. Crocodile means very envious. Just you can see their eyes, their whole body. It's just someone who's very, very envious. They can take birth as a crocodile. In fact, if someone is very envious in this life, you may call them a crocodile. Isn't it? Crocodile, snake. Someone who's very envious in this life, you may call them a snake or a crocodile. And actually they take such a birth. Yadrashi yadrashi shraddha siddhi bhavati tadrashi. It works in whatever you put your faith or your meditation, or you get that situation. So it's true in the reverse way also. So even someone who's very envious and evil, Krishna is prepared to deliver them. He takes the good, Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this in one conversation, I believe it was. Krishna sees the good. All right, she's bad. All right, punish. Take her life. But then there's some good. Oh, so she wanted to suckle me. All right, you can take that position. Dhatruchitam, the position suitable for a nurse, wet nurse. Wet nurse means a woman who suckles a child other than her own. That used to be, I don't know in India, but the aristocracy in Europe used to do that. They didn't like to look after their children, so they hired the mothers didn't like to look after their children, they thought it's too much bother. So they would hire some woman who had just had a child, and they would breastfeed the baby. I guess it must be there in Vedic culture also to have that word. So this is, he showed his great mercy upon her, and she fulfilled her desire, both her desire in the previous life to suckle him, and her desire to kill him. At least she got as far as trying. She thought, oh, now, let's see, now all these foolish women of Raja, they'll be, when they see the Krishna dead, they'll be absolutely destroyed. Then I can eat them, because I'm a Rakshasi, she likes to eat humans. And my brothers, Agha and Baka, they'll be very pleased, and Kamsa will be very pleased, and everyone will glorify me, and they'll give me lots of babies to eat. She was thinking. So Krishna fulfilled, she said, come on, here's my breast, you can drink. Then all of a sudden, Krishna sucked out her life. Krishna lives according to the Vedic culture. So after this attempt on his life, the gopis, to protect him and to purify him from, of course there's no question of purifying Krishna, but they took him to be an ordinary boy. There's no question of protecting Krishna either, but that was their feeling. They smeared cow dung on him, and cow dung mixed with water, and they performed Vedic rituals. So Sri Krishna, in this way, he showed the importance of Vedic culture. This is just one instance, there are so many. Throughout his life, he showed the value of that by personally living it. He doesn't have to go through any rituals for purification or protection, but he doesn't have to accept a guru, doesn't have to accept a wife.
He was married 16,108 times. And if we accept the version of Jiva Goswami, more times also. He got married, he went back to Vrindavan and married all the gopis also. But he did so according to the Vedic rituals. He's anyway, he's automatically the husband of everyone. But he went through all the Vedic rituals. He acted as a responsible grihastha. And in this way, Krishna demonstrated the point of Vedic culture, the importance. He doesn't have to follow it because he himself is the aim and object of the Vedic culture. Vedaischa sarve aham eva vedyaha. All the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. And then all the Vedic activities that Vasudeva, Paro, Yoga, Jnana, Kratu, all the, here in this first canto, it's stated that all the activities of the Vedic culture, they are centered on Krishna. They're meant for understanding Krishna. So Krishna doesn't have to follow, but he does. And one reason is to demonstrate the importance of that Vedic culture for all of us. I'll speak a little bit more. Just now, if I can find it. I can find that piece of paper. Then another childhood pastime of Krishna is in his Damodara Lila. He played like a little boy, but at the same time, by not being able to be tied up by Mother Yashoda, he showed his power as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that she became bewildered, because she thought he's a little boy. So he was doing both things at once, both playing as a little boy and showing his mystic power. Then eventually he agreed to be tied up by Yashoda. And in this way, he demonstrated that he is tied up by pranaya rasama. He's tied up by the ropes of love. She could not tie him with ordinary, no ropes can tie him. But he agreed to be tied by her due to her love for him. So he's conquered by love. This is shown in Damodara Lila, that he is conquered by love. This is a statement which most people who consider themselves to be theistic, they may think that this is blasphemy, that God can be conquered. But that is his greatest glory, that he can be conquered by, that he agrees to become subservient to the love of his devotees. So Krishna, actually by even acting as a child in the house of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna demonstrates this. It's why it's very, very difficult for many people to understand this. If he's God, then why is he a little boy? And there are descriptions of him passing stool and urine. And, God doesn't do that. Well, he does. I don't think God should do that. Well, maybe that's why he does it. He's not under your control. And also, he's not God in the sense that he's not acting as God. He's craving the love of Nanda and Yashoda and all the Vrajavasis. So he agreed to be tied up. Then, being tied up, he tied up to the mortar. Why is he tied up to the mortar? Mortar means it'll be some big stone, just like you have big stones here. Even if you have a stone, say, this size, the size of this not very big table, and you tie a child to that, the child can't move. That's why you tie the child to it, because it's heavy, right? And he's stuck there, he's a prisoner. But Krishna dragged the mortar, which is not expected for a small child to be able to do that, because the stone mortar, I guess, would be something like this size. And it's too heavy for a child to move. But Krishna, he dragged the mortar. There must have been a lot of rope, because you might think that the rope would snap first. And then he dragged it, and then the mortar fell sideways in between two huge trees which were in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna went on pulling, and still the rope didn't break, but the trees fell down. And in this way he delivered the twin Arjuna trees. So in this way, Krishna, by performing this pastime, he delivered those two demigods who had taken the form of trees, thus fulfilling the promise of his devotee, Narada, who had cursed them to stand as trees, but you will be delivered by Krishna ultimately. So his curse was actually a blessing. He performed this pastime of Krishna, of Damodar, which is one of the favorite pastimes, even up to the present day. There's a whole month dedicated to the remembrance of this pastime. Such a sweet pastime. That Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who comes to kill so many demons by exhibiting his superhuman power, is tied up just like a little boy by his mother. He demonstrates the very sweetness of himself, of his Raja pastimes. So these are he gave liberation to the Arjuna trees. Liberation means they were liberated from that existence as trees. And again, śrīnanti gayanti grinanti abhikṣṇaśa smaranti nandanti tave hitaṅjanāha ta eva paśyanta cirena tāvakam bhava pravāho paramāṁ padāṁ bhujam. But he gave opportunity for devotees in future to remember such pastimes, to hear about them, to sing about them, to take pleasure in others also doing, and in this way to be freed from birth and death. So that's going on to the present time. By performing the Damodar Leela, Krishna, he achieved so many purposes, and therefore he is known as Naika Karmakrit, one who, when he does something, he doesn't just fulfill one purpose, he fulfills many purposes. So I'll finish there for today. Hare Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna. Upanyasam samaptam. Do you say in Tamil? Samaptam? No. You could say it in any North Indian language. It's... All right, Hare Krishna. Go and do your many works.